that was a huge part of our work, is Next Level Ready in a diploma by design. So if a kid tells us we're going to work at the local fast food stand, that's fine if they've done their research. So if they could come to us and say, hey, I get insurance, and there's a, you know, they'll fund my education, there's a management pathway, whatever it is that says this is what attracted me and this is the right plan for me, we're happy for that, but it needs to be by design.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Dr. Colleen Tim. And Colleen is the agency administrator for the Cooperative Educational Service Agency 7. Say that five times fast. Colleen, it is so nice to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here and to be talking with you about my favorite topic in education.
Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us, tell everybody about your experience and the CESA 7.
Yeah. I'll start off with a little background about CESA 7. So there are 12, we call them CESAs, in the state of Wisconsin, and we are really an arm of the State Department of Public Instruction. So we all have assigned areas of the state. We're here in Northeast Wisconsin, based in Green Bay. We support 38 public school districts and private school partners. That's about 90,000 students and 8,000 educators. So we come along, I like to say, as sort of the 12th man for our school district. So when legislation is passed that affects schools, we come alongside them and help them to implement that. And then we go in and do all of their school improvement work that they have set up uniquely for their district. So we're a team of about 285 employees. We're deployed across this region, and just a strong commitment to excellence in education and helping each district ensure that every student is next level ready and that they graduate with a diploma by design. So it's a great career. It's a great place to be in helping ensure that educators have what they need to make sure that kids have what they need.
Right. And that's what we're here for, right? Is for those, for the educators and for the kids. For absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. So, and I'm glad you said you're in Green Bay, because I failed to mention that. So thank you for that. One of the things in the initial interview we talked about is you have been involved in some turnaround programs, and I would love to hear that whole situation, and because it sounds like it came out really well. So
yeah, that I would say turning around organizations has been a huge part of my career. So prior to coming here to CESA, I had been a long time superintendent, principal, and teacher. And in one of my stops, where I was for about 13, 14 years, it was a really low performing school district. I think they had the lowest state test scores for 17 years running in their athletic conference, contiguous schools, county comparisons. And people had just kind of accepted that that was the way it had always been, and that it was the way that it would always be. And I was a brand new superintendent thinking, oh my gosh, not under my watch. So we began an effort to turn things around. And there were really two places that we looked. One, we took a look at what do our colleagues in the elective areas do. So you have to have high standards, and yet you still have to have kids wanting to come back and take your class. So what's right. The art and science in that? The other place that we looked is we had a high school principal join our team who had been a special education teacher, and he had really specialized in helping to make sure that each student had a really rich transition plan, and that was embedded with a lot of opportunities for students to really explore who they were, what they were interested in, and then get out and do job shadowing and mock interviews and apprenticeships. And so they had all these real life experiences with all of these wonderful mentors beyond the school doors to help them decide who they wanted to be, how they wanted to, you know, what path they wanted to follow to become that. And so we started to look at that and said, you know what, if that works for students who have special education needs, why couldn't we apply that across our student body? And so we really started to embed and be very purposeful from about fifth grade on, helping kids to really explore what they were interested in, what they thought they were good at, what they could see themselves doing every day that it didn't feel like work that they were going to, and then began to apply those principles across the board for schools. And it did. By the time I left that district, out of 425 school districts in the state of Wisconsin, we were the 54th highest school district in the state. So
you reestablished hope. You gave those kids
hope. 100%. And that was so interesting to me, was to see exactly what you're talking about, was the hope that I could see it in the parents. I could see it in the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles. I saw it in the kids. I saw it in the staff. And in that hope and that belief in what was possible was what I think really, once I knew that was present, I knew we had turned the corner and that we weren't going to go back to the way it had been.
Yeah. It makes it easier if you do move on to know that, you know, you've made a difference and it's not going to just slip all back. That's fantastic. Right. When you generational changes, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that principle, we then, you know, the nice part about coming into my position here is that we bring those principles out to other school districts that we work with now. But I think a huge part of what we have to do is making sure as educators that we're not trying to fit every, you know, square peg into a round hole, but we're really looking at what are the pathways. In the state of Wisconsin, there are 16 pathways that schools develop programming around. And so we want to give kids lots of opportunities. You know, we've had students do apprenticeships and come back at the end of that and say, well, I thought I wanted to be a nurse, and now I don't want to be a nurse. And I remember the first time that happened in my school board, who were wonderful, delightful people, I could see the kind of shocked and surprised and almost panicked look on their face that this student invested a semester of like thinking that she wanted to be a nurse and now she doesn't. She came back and she said, but I want to go into something. And I think it was like radiography. So it was still within that medical field. But she had, before she ever had to invest time and money in college coursework,
right,
she had ruled in what was going to be a good fit and ruled out what was going to be less of a good fit. And so I think, you know, as public schools, as K-12 schools, we really have the opportunity to help kids try some things on and rule in what they want to pursue and rule out what no longer maybe is a good fit for them.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. And it does. It gives them an opportunity to see and be ready for what's next.
Yeah, I think that readiness is so critical from every grade level. As soon as a student walks through our doors, we want to make sure they're next level ready. But especially when I was in the district that was low performing, when the kids would go across the stage, it was a small district. So they would introduce, you know, this is Colleen Tim and she's the daughter of so-and-so and she's going to go to school here and this is what she's going to study. Well, 13% of our population at that time said undecided. And I was middle school principal in the district at that time. And I remember just feeling kind of, you know, panic, like these kids just walk across the stage. They should know they're going for to work. They're going in the military. Here they're going to school. And they didn't yet have a plan. So that was a huge part of our work is next level ready and a diploma by design. So if a kid tells us we're going to work at the local fast food stand, that's fine if they've done their research. So they could come to us and say, hey, I get insurance and there's, you know, they'll fund my education. There's a management pathway, whatever it is that says this is what attracted me and this is the right plan for me. We're happy for that, but it needs to be by design. And we've brought a lot of that work here to CESA. So we 3 years ago launched a youth apprenticeship program I'm really happy and very proud of our staff. Proud to say that we're the fastest growing consortium in our state with that. And I'm especially proud to tell you that we have the highest percentage of students with an IEP who complete an apprenticeship. And so I just think, you know, it shows that in our region, in the state, we're doing a really good job for all kids, you know, helping make sure whether it's the kid that wants to be an accountant, the kid that wants to go into diesel mechanics and everything in between and around that, that we are helping kids figure out who they are, what kind of lifestyle they want to support, what kind of hours, where they want to live, and having that be a good fit so they truly are next level ready when they go across the stage and collect their diploma.
Nice. Yeah, because, boy, I'll tell you, life is going to happen to you whether you have a plan or not, right? We all know that, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've seen in this region of the state, we have seen, you know, manufacturers close up and move to other states or move to other countries. And so I always want to make sure that our students have a good foundation so that if life happens and life changes and the environment around you changes, that you have a strong foundation to fall back on to say, okay, here's where I get up, pick myself up, and I have these skills and I have this training and I have this background, I have this knowledge of who I am to persist through whatever those challenges are. Because just as you're saying, you know, life's going to happen. Those things are going to happen to people. And at all ends of the spectrum, in all career areas, we want kids to be able to persist through so that they are successful adults for the long haul.
Yeah. So what would you say that right now that you feel is your biggest challenge in what in your job or in what you're doing? What do you feel like is the thing that you're facing that you're trying to solve currently?
Well, I think always, you know, confidence in education, confidence in our public schools. I think, you know, the work that I've been engaged with, the work that we're doing, I think locally people know this is great. You know, my son or daughter never thought they were going to go to school or didn't know what they wanted to be, you know, and they can tell all these great success stories. And so I think people at a local level can see and understand the value of the schools and their family and in their community. But I think, you know, working to restore back some faith in education and some faith that we're a good partner. You know, here where we have 1,700 students that are working in youth apprenticeships this year, we have over 1,000 business partners. We work with the chambers of commerce. We work with all kinds of service organizations. And our kids earned over $10 million that they, you know, a lot of them put right back into the community.
Wow.
So we are an important cornerstone to our communities, to our workforce. And I think helping people to see that, because I think that also impacts who we get into the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That is so critical. You know, when 35 years ago, when I came into teaching, there were 325 people applied for my job as a secondary English teacher. Today, we can post that and not have any applicants. So
that crazy.
For a variety of reasons, you know, we really need to turn this corner and shed a light on all of these great things that are happening in schools and how we really are. I mean, I feel very proud of that work. I can lay my head on my pillow at night and feel confident that we are doing well by students to make sure they're next level ready.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That is it. Excuse me. Had a little frog. it's work that is generational changing. It is work that is world changing. And we do it 1, 2, 3 students at a time. So how do you attract partners? How do you attract leaders in outside of education into what you guys are doing? What is your method for? Because I know there's a lot of a lot of businesses out there that could benefit from this, and a lot of other districts and schools that are trying and aren't maybe being as successful as you guys are. So how do you get them to buy in, and how do you get them to allow the students to come? Because not everybody's going to want that, right?
Absolutely.
Or don't think they want it.
Right. And, you know, just like we're trying to attract teachers into the field, many of our business partners are also looking for how to attract and retain talent. And so this has been a good partnership for them. So what we are seeing happen is that businesses will give students a chance where at one time, early in my career, they weren't quite as interested in that because it takes some time.
Yeah, it's an investment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it is an investment. They're willing to do it now because they understand, and we're seeing this more and more, that if a student is successful in their environment, they will say, when you graduate, you're going to have a job, or we want you to go to this particular school and pursue this particular certification, and then we'll have a job, or they'll do both together. So people are really understanding this is a pipeline. One of our big medical centers in the area retains 88%.
Wow.
Of the students who complete youth apprenticeship in their area in some way, shape, or form. It may be in business, it may be in technology, it may actually be in one of the medical jobs themselves. But so people are seeing this. The other thing is that through a grant with our workforce development, we actually place what is called a coach in our schools. So for every certain number of students they have, one of our employees is actually boots on the ground, working with the staff, working with students, working with parents, and they're that liaison with the business. And I remember back when I was superintendent of the district and we were doing this, we had a student who had an IEP, and he was picking up on the work a little bit more slowly than the employer wanted him to, and had contacted the school and said, we're just not sure this is going to work. Well, the beauty of what we do is we deployed then a team of people that went out and met with their team. What is it that the student needs? And then let's put a plan together so that this student can do this. And to the best of my knowledge, that young man, grown man now, is supporting a wife and his family at that job still today. So probably 20 plus years later. But, you know, so we become a partner with them truly. So we're almost an extension of their HR department. So when a student is struggling, they have that support of the school and the expertise and the knowledge that we bring in working with youth to help put a plan in place. But, you know, we do all of those soft skills, if you will, where we help students understand you have to show up on time. You have to pull up your pants. You may have to cover your tattoo. You can't eat food out of the employee refrigerator. We help them learn all of those things as well, because, you know, not all of our kids are coming with a model of somebody who gets up at home and goes to work every day. So we make sure that they have all of those things in place when they get ready to set foot on the property on their first day.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. So how early in the educational process do you start this? I mean, is it like something that you start like in elementary school talking about it, or where does it start for you guys?
Generally fifth grade, and we see a lot of
I think you might
partners.
Have said that, sorry.
Yeah, business partners, the chambers, and the schools will partner, and we start to see the kids going into some of those settings. One of the things that we had heard when I first started doing this work was that students would, you know, try on a job for 3 weeks or 3 months and they would leave, and businesses were having all of this turnover. So we want students to get into a variety of places and see what it looks like. If you want to go into manufacturing, you just need to go look. Some are clean with automatic lights as you walk down a, you know, a hallway, and others, you know, are hot and you don't see the light of day until you come out of work at the end of the day. If students have researched that, experienced that, and decide that's the right path for them because it affords them a good income, we want to support that. But we want kids to have knowledge going into it. So really starts, there's a lot of that kind of students going into different places of employment, having a variety of speakers, because we know if you ask a lot of kids, still today, they'll say they want to be a teacher, doctor, fireman, policeman, all of those, you know, things that kind of they see all of the time.
Right.
And there's so many, you know, in the biomedical field or in technology that We haven't even heard of them yet a lot of times. And so we want to get those things in place and start thinking about, we do a lot of self-assessments. You know, what do you like? What classes do you like? What do you think you're good at? And then how might that parlay into a job? We also do work with a reality store. Maybe you've heard of those. So you tell us, you know, what you want to do for a living, and we figure out what that income is going to be. And then you have to go pay all your bills. You have to get groceries and pay childcare and, you know, maybe get your pet groomed and buy a haircut and buy insurance. And
and not run out of money by the end of the month or end of the pay period. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that if kids are like, well, I want to live this kind of lifestyle, but I want this job, and it's a mismatch, we want them to have their eyes wide open. And there's plenty of times by the end of that experience that kids are coming in to trade in the sports car for a bus pass. You know, they realize that right out of the gates, they can't have it all. So, but you know, we just do so much, such a layered approach
to help
kids really understand what's ahead of them and what are the opportunities and what are the challenges going to be and how will they prepare for both of those.
What a great life skill too. You know, I'm into my parents did not teach us about budgeting, did not talk to us about all of this, you know. Now I graduated in the 80s, so you know it's 30 years ago now, but it's going on 40. Doggone it. It's 40 years ago now. Oh, no. Actually, this year is my 40th high school. I graduated in 85. So this is my 40th high school. Okay. Thank you for making myself feel very old.
But it is great. I'll tell you, when we do some graduate surveys, that reality store is one of their favorite.
Yeah, I bet.
Because it is such an eye-opening activity that, you know, you really do have to get a haircut occasionally. You can't just say you're never going to do that, you know. So it's one of their favorite activities because it brings everything home.
Yeah. The reality. Yeah. Some of them are experiencing it just because of their home life. But boy, when you see it and you have to figure it out on your own, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We want to help students make good decisions for themselves so that if they're coming out of a challenging situation, they know there's a pathway up and out of that.
And that goes back to that hope. That goes back to hope. You got to give kids hope, really. Absolutely. We all need it. We all need hope, you know, and it's not something that you can live without, really. So moving forward, we're always moving forward. We always want to, if we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. There's no standing still. That's for sure. So
Yeah.
So very good. Well, fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's very rewarding. I think, you know, so many times in the past, we would think as educators, you know, and you might bump into one of your adult students who would offer words of thanks or, hey, this is what I turned into, this is what I made. But through the work that we do now, I think it, when you think about attracting and retaining talent, our staff sees the impact that they're having on kids and all of these different steps along the way. And it just, you know, rejuvenates the soul as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Schools and education are foundational to any society. You have to have that. And you guys are doing it. So congratulations. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Colleen, I have one question I try to ask everybody at the end of the podcast. And you cannot say money because everybody needs more money. We know that, right? But if you could miraculously solve just one challenge in your job, in your world, what would you want to solve? If you could just say, that's gone. I have to worry about that again. What would it be?
One challenge that I would want to solve in education. You know, one of the things, so I'm a mom who lost a child, to suicide. And so I think what I would want is for every child to feel loved and mattered in a school.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that doesn't cost any money to do.
No, it does not. No, it does not. I've said this on a previous podcast, but my son, not January, but a year ago at Christmas time, one of his 18-year-old friends, a couple years behind him in school, took his own life. And we have t-shirts now that say, you are enough.
Yeah. Yeah. somebody, the license plate, you matter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think, and I think some of that can come out of the work that we're doing because kids feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel valued, and they have so many mentors, not only in the school, but outside of the school.
Yeah, very good. Colleen, thank you so much for coming on Brighter Together. It was such a pleasure to have you on and to talk about what's happening at CESA 7 and in Green Bay. It's been a pleasure. I see your passion, and I'm just so grateful that you were willing to join us and talk about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and thanks for the work that you're doing on behalf of kids across the country.
Awesome. Take care.